knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Emmerich Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Uh-huh.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
Jordan.
For you. What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot, Jordan, have I said mochi?
Yes, you have said mochi. Shit. That one's true.
Fuck.
Do you have any other rice-based snacks that you appreciate?
No,
but I've Rice Krispie treats?
Oh, I do like those. I haven't had many in a while, though. I did, I was telling you about this. Like,
sure.
I've been trying to branch out and try different types of rice.
Naturally, yeah.
I'm kind of excited about that. Maybe that could be a bright spot.
That's
rice
not a bad
exploration.
Bright spot. Yeah.
Although the path that I've gone down so far has been disappointing. I tried the forbidden rice.
Yes, it was not as forbidden as you might imagine.
Boo to the forbidden rice. I forbid it from my kitchen. But yeah, I'm going to try a rice exploration for the next while. That's my new. I know people enjoy hearing about whatever
the
childish cooking adventures are going on.
Whatever rabbit hole you take for a few weeks.
Whatever elementary level cooking 101 shit.
I like it. That would be more interesting if the word forbidden was just a more applied to things that suck.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, oh, the forbidden rice. It's not forbidden because it's bad or evil. It's just bad.
Hey,
you know, sucks. It's just shitty rice.
Look. I want to be totally above board and clear about this. It doesn't suck. It doesn't live up to the name.
Well, the lambada sucks.
That dance is forbidden. I don't know if the lambada sucks. I don't actually know how to do it. But
okay.
The rice itself is just bleh, whatever.
Yeah, all right.
You expect a lot when something's forbidden. It's like, oh, only the king could have this rice.
It does kind of raise expectations.
Boo.
A little bit.
Doesn't live up to it. Anyway.
The forbidden city isn't just like fucking
a city.
Detroit, you know?
Anyway, rice, I guess, is my bright spot.
That's a good bright spot.
How about you?
My bright spot, Dan, is that approximately 4 hours ago, my partner got the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine.
Oh, that's great.
It is great news.
So she'll be transforming into a cyborg within weeks.
Yeah, either that or she will be dead within 15 minutes.
Well, that should have happened 3 hours ago.
Okay.
Three and a half hours ago.
15 minutes temporally.
Have you talked to her in 3 hours?
I haven't.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Well, congratulations.
Yes.
I hope it all is
very happy for
uneventful and everybody's is healthy.
Yep, it's nice. It's a good little bright spot considering, you know, how shittily the teachers union has been treated.
Sure.
You know, like, bleh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jordan, today we have an interesting episode to go over.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be talking about February 17th.
Blackjack!
Too early,
kid.
Damn
it!
You're like the guy who hit the NOS too early in Fast and Furious. Too early, kid. February 17th, 2021, Blackjack.
Oh, okay.
You're like two cars racing, and you just went too fast. You went right into the barricade, and so I could slowly go around.
I never know when you're going to speed up or slow down. I'm always chasing you. That's the struggle.
The advantage is with the server.
Yeah, well, naturally.
You understand this in the game of tennis?
You do understand this in the game of tennis.
So, interestingly, Alex was able to get back into studio on the 17th, which is Wednesday.
Okay.
And I have some interesting thoughts about it. I don't know exactly what was going on, but he was able to broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
The studio is a bit dark.
Sure.
There are lights in terms of like focused on him.
Yeah,
so it's not like he's sitting in a shadow.
Right.
But the giant million-dollar board behind him is off.
Okay.
It's bleak. And it's interesting. This episode is really fucked up.
Oh,
really
weird. No, I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. Sometimes when the vibe is this bad, just take the day off. Man.
I would have advised.
You're going to say all kinds of weird shit.
Yeah.
You're in a dark room basically by yourself.
I would have said, call in. don't do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then, you know, the flip side of the coin is that, like, necessity is the mother of invention. And,
sure.
Like, whenever your back's to the wall, sometimes you fuck around and pull out something amazing.
Right, right, right.
We've heard countless stories of that.
Fair.
You know, how many times have you heard a stand-up talk about how, like, it was the worst possible scenario? Like, you've been on stage and, like, the lights have gone out?
Totally.
Sometimes those are the best sets you can possibly have.
Mike is cut out. Yeah. The whole thing. Yeah.
Your back's to the wall and something within you comes out that you didn't know was there. And
you rise to the occasion.
That's not this.
I didn't think so. I was not expecting that. Yeah. What could be rising to the occasion?
I don't know. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. I enjoyed some of this, and some of it is just, we'll just say, overtly white supremacist.
Well, that'll happen. It's a dark room, so you got to brighten it up somehow, Dan.
We'll get down to business on the episode, but before we do, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Alex Jones in Mike Tyson's voice. The in Mike Tyson's voice was not in parentheses, right. So I'm not doing a...
No, it's the name.
I'm not doing an impression.
No, you don't do impressions.
No, certainly not. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Bill, and then also thank you to Dana for suggesting to Bill to listen to this podcast. Very complicated name, but you're a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I swear, you theme these. Sometimes there's normal names. Sometimes it's a long list of joke names, and now we're just getting
explanations. I try and balance it out. Next, the Demon Deacon. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, DD.
I think it's the Wake Forest mascot.
Yes, I am fairly sure.
Do you know about Deacon Blues, the song by Steely Dan?
No, I do not know. I'm not a big Steely Dan guy.
Whoa,
Dan.
Holy shit.
No, this is a thing.
They got a name for the winners in the world.
Yeah.
And I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide.
Uh-huh.
Call me Deacon Blues.
Okay. All right. So I'm not missing a ton.
Drink scotch whiskey all night long.
Well, now you're celibate.
And die behind the wheel.
Is that what Steely Dan sounds like?
A little bit. I think Fagan has a better voice than I do.
Well.
But Deacon Blues, good song. Peg. Sure. That Asia album is all just pretty good. Can't buy thrill.
Reagan liked Peg. Nah.
Anyway,
come on now.
Next, Nathan W. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you. Next, John C. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, John.
Thank you. And then I'd like to give a shout out to some folks who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So the Woods Boys, but I'm insisting on calling them Dem Woods Boys. Thank you so much. You are now technocrats. And Jake, a.k.a. Gibby.
Okay.
It's a birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And you're now a technocrat.
All right.
And Mr. Goblin keeps you clean. You are now a technocrat, and I'd like to say hello and good tidings to you and your family and your daughter. You're now all technocrats. Sure. Everybody's a technocrat.
Yeah.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate. That's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you all. Jordan, I can't believe you don't like Steely Dan.
I didn't say I didn't like Steely Dan. I'm just not a Steely Dan guy. Like, I never got into Steely
Dan. That's
the
same thing.
I'm not yet 42, so I don't feel like it's the right time for me to get into Steely Dan.
I don't know. Us Steely Dan folk, we have a saying, and that's either with us or you're against us.
Is that what Steely Dan folks say?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I guess that's why I haven't been invited.
Yep.
Because apparently I'm against you.
Yeah, you're a dissenter. Check it out. Buy the camp. Right. Listen to the Can't Buy a Thrill album. I think you'll enjoy it.
I believe I will. I've never heard a Steely Dan song that I wasn't like.
What,
oh, Steely
what about
Dan's
Black
all right.
Cow? Have you heard Black Cow?
I don't know.
Black Cow's a good song,
probably.
So Jordan, we have two out of context drops from today's show.
That's exciting.
Yeah, I'll let you decide afterwards which you prefer.
Okay,
here's option number one.
All right,
and I'm just telling you what I really think. Okay, so this is the ultimate black pill broadcast today.
That is an accurate assessment of the show. He's very black pill mood.
Okay.
Which is probably going to hurt sales of the real red pill, which he sells.
Could.
Here's option number two.
You got to wash that ass.
What's it going to be?
Well, that's tough. You do got to wash that ass.
You got to wash that ass.
However, there's a part of me that thinks that he should try selling. Like, that's kind of an untapped market. The black pill, right? It's a, you know, you got the real red pill. It gets you all that. You know, what if you sold a pill that just gives you like minor depression? Everybody could use a couple of days on the bed without liking yourself.
I don't know if this is a good market. I think it would be best to avoid that that space.
Maybe it would be a prank gift that you get. You know, like it's a white elephant gift. You
so
get
about, licorice, oh, these jelly are
depression.
Beans?
Yeah, these are depression pills.
All right, I don't know. I don't all like right. this.
Okay, fair enough.
So we start off the episode here, and Alex is sitting in studio alone, sad.
Yeah,
no cool lights behind him.
Clean ass though.
We washed that ass.
Yeah.
I don't know. It kind of, you know, I know he didn't, but he's responding to a question that we brought up on our episode.
Okay. All
right. Which is like, hey, man, you're supposed to be the big prepper guy, right?
Right.
What's going on here?
Thank you so much for joining us. I have a skeleton crew, and we have limited power back on in the studios here. And a lot of listeners will say to me, well, you're Mr. Prepared. Why aren't you prepared? Want to eat some of that storable food? When I've told people that we should all take our vitamins and be in shape, I'm pointing three fingers back at myself and one finger at you. But I'm obviously saying what I think the best thing to do is. The city of Austin was here 2 years ago and wouldn't give us the permits for a full-powered generator system that we wanted to put in here. And you could, I guess, move locations. We don't have the money to do that. So we're just like the average folks. And I don't have power. Most of my family doesn't have power. And so I've been going around dealing with frozen pipes and things like that. And I'm not complaining.
So it's the red tape.
Yeah.
So Alex very well may have been dealing with some pipe issues, but that's far from the only thing he's been doing while this winter storm has lingered in Texas. And apparently his family is without power. As it turns out, in the middle of all this, Alex decided to take a helicopter to Dallas to sit down and get drunk and smoke cigars with Steven Crowder, while simultaneously complaining about cancel culture and lying about what they do for a living. I wanted really badly to cover that interview for the show because it's very stupid, but it's behind a paywall, so it kind of falls into that territory of things I don't feel right making content out of, and unfortunately, the section they released for free on YouTube, it's kind of dumb. It's not worth it, and as you and I were talking about this, how terrible of a tease would it be
to be like
as if we were promoting.
Yeah, no, that would be us being like, and then go listen to the last bit of their show, I guess. No, we're not doing that shit.
There was one interesting colonel in there, though, that I wanted to talk about.
A lieutenant colonel?
Ooh, there was a point where Steven Crowder was trying to help Alex sell his whole, like, I'm not left-wing or right-wing kind of bona fides.
Sure.
So, you know, they're trying to pretend that he's above the political fray, and Alex said something that I thought was shocking and interesting.
My mom's brother had been a big helicopter ace in Vietnam, and then he was involved in Iran-Contra, and so he would come by the house sometimes and talk about what was really going on in the country, and I had some other family that was involved in clandestine stuff and like Army Special Operations, and that was back when it was all human intelligence. It wasn't digital. It was like it was like hit teams and like real stuff and like killing Russian spies and you know, stuff in Germany. I'd be sitting around like 8 years old hearing these stories at the table, you know, with family talking about it. And so for me, I kind of grew up in the real world,
right?
And then other people were growing up in the fantasy land, and so that was, I kind of had a leg up just because as a kid I grew up hearing about all this stuff.
So you were always more right-leaning when you grew up? Like, you didn't have a phase where you became a liberal?
No, I mean, I just grew up, like, any family reunion or any place I went, it was, like, all, it was mainly Army people.
Right.
They were just all, like, sitting, it wasn't a big deal. They were just, like, all, you know, they just all, like, in the real world.
Right.
Like, we're battling the Russians, and America's going to win, and we're going to get more nuclear reactors and more weapons than them. And,
right. You know, the
and
real world.
We just took out their people, and I'm growing up hearing all this. And then I'm hearing, and then I go to college finally, like, America sucks and communism's good. And I was like, well, I'm going to join the anti-communist movement.
Is that, so that's when it started, where you said that you were going to fight against the communist movement. By the way, I
just grew up around a bunch of badass Americans.
Right.
This is an interesting insight, and anyone who's not a complete idiot interviewing Alex would have heard that and realized what he had just said. This wasn't him saying that he's neither right-wing nor left-wing, he's just opposed to communism. Alex is saying that at a young age, he decided to join the anti-communist movement. Any interviewer worth a damn would have heard that and understood that what Alex is saying is that he's not a conservative, he's about 1,000 miles to the right of conservatives. Anytime you hear him criticize the right wing, like he did with George W. Bush, it's because they're doing something that seems like something a Democrat would do, so they must be a secret communist. Interviews with people like Crowder exist entirely to launder Alex Jones to a naive audience, unaware of what's actually being discussed, and getting them to think that he's comically, like this comically fringe right-wing politics that he has is actually somehow an expression of being above the two-party system. Crowder's audience skews younger, too, so this is really an effort to mainstream like a zealot bigot like Alex to children, which Stephen should be deeply ashamed of being a part of.
Yeah.
And also, I fucking couldn't help it, so I decided I have a few clips from this.
Okay, all right.
I needed to take a few clips because some of this is so embarrassing.
Okay,
like it's all right. It's really bad. It's just dumb shit. It starts with them sort of like joshing around about Joe Rogan. It's like, oh, you two guys who like, oh, yeah, you're just talking about how you're friends with Joe on a completely separate show. Steven Crowder hasn't been on Rogan's show in like 3 years, and I'm certain we'll never be back.
Close friends. Come on. They're just two guys talking about how they're close friends with a famous guy.
I do find it fun when it's just like, you know, talking about the third person who's substantially more famous and relevant.
Yeah.
But then they start talking about butts.
Sure.
Because
is Alex's kid there?
They're describing Rogan's studio as being like the intestine of a whale or whatever. And this gets to talking about the digestive tract.
Sure.
I just need to take a piss, and there was a bush right there.
We're right in a whale's large intestine.
Colon.
I don't know. Colon just sounds, it just sounds more nefarious. So
you're in the lower intestine.
Well, what's the large intestine? Isn't the large intestine that lower?
I think you're right.
I guess we're saying the same thing. No, wait, colon's different. What's rectum? Let's move on.
You have the lower intestine. And
we don't need to go
stomach,
through rectum.
You have the mouth. You have the esophagus.
Mm-hmm.
You have the stomach.
Which is a small intestine, right?
No, the stomach's the stomach.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then you have the small intestine and the large intestine, then the colon.
Then the rectum.
Then the anus.
No, the rectum is before the anus.
Well, no, I'm saying the rectum and then the anus.
The large intestine's connected to the colon.
Remember the show? Like, yeah. Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah, I think I missed that one.
The stomach's connected to the large intestine.
So they just had a bill saying, I have to poo.
Can you imagine? They're going to censor this, saying this is going to be like, you cannot let Jones talk about this.
Mm. It actually brings me to something interesting, because you've been on and I want to go through your story. This is a little bit different. A lot of people don't know your story. But what's funny is what we just did. People here on YouTube and people who are on Mug Club, no one cares. But on YouTube, that's not offensive at all. But what's kind of interesting to me is back in the day with the FCC.
My talk radio, currently, have I said that on my show?
Yeah, anything scatological. In other words, you could say that guy's a rectum head or a dump, but you can't say my rectum. Anything that's considered like potty, you can't say.
That's just such a great example of Crowder and Alex pretending that like this conversation they're having about the digestive tract is going to get them censored. They so rely on this, the conservative media system. They rely on this preemptive complaining that something that they haven't even released yet is going to get censored or would be censored in a certain context in order to give them the pretense of credibility. Shit's so edgy, man. It's going to get banned before it exists.
I can't talk about
rectums.
That's such a great observation that Patton Oswalt made better 20 years ago and didn't make it about cancel culture or whatever.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
So now this next clip here is...
Also, one of the three of us needs to be hit with a meteor, and I don't care which it is. After listening to that shit, one of the three of us has got to go.
Well, I mean, there's another part I didn't take from this that I thought was really funny, where Stephen Crowder was talking about how he got into what he's doing because conservative comedians weren't funny.
Yeah.
And I'd like to play back that clip.
Oh, man. Look, I say a lot of stupid shit, but I try and keep it short.
Sure.
You know, I don't go into like, no, let's get into the order of how stupid shit is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then try and effortlessly or effortfully weave it into cancel culture.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
I can't talk about butts.
Go fuck yourself.
I can't talk about butts on the radio. Go listen to Alex's show anytime hear the kind of gross shit he's talking about.
Also, at least say fuck if you're going to talk about being censored.
Sure.
Losers.
So this clip was poorly timed and completely not true.
Yeah, I disagree with Rush when he had the Magic Negro song. Remember that? He
played, it was based on the LA Times article, I think.
Yeah, I get it. I'm not even against Rush. I'm not saying censor him. I just, I wouldn't do that humor.
So hearing that...
Motherfucker! Goddamn shit! Fucking the dragon!
This is the laundering of Alex Jones's persona on Stephen's platform.
I want to throw things.
But also, hearing that Alex Jones didn't like his racial humor may actually have been what finally did Rush in. There's actually no way to know for sure, but 13 lieutenant colonels have actually told me that that is what happened.
That does sound right.
And also, if Alex, like you said, doesn't like that humor, he's got to stop doing fentanyl.
He's got a lot of stuff he needs to stop doing, but that one's a big one.
This next clip is Alex carrying on his great tradition of outing his secret sources that he claims he never outs because confidentiality is super important to him.
Hey, look, I can't tell you who this is. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you.
It was Don Jr., who's Cernovich's source.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Wuhan.
Whoops.
Listen about Ted Cruz. I love Ted Cruz. I think he's a great lawyer, a great American. I would support him for president. It was Trump and Roger Stone, nothing against them, that put out the story that his dad was in the CIA and all that stuff. And then he's like, Jones is crazy, but I support his free speech, even though he made up that my dad did this. I didn't do that. I covered what they said. So you can't, Ted Cruz, love Trump and do all that when they were the ones that gave me the story.
To be fair, you might have given it more legitimacy than it warranted.
Probably so.
Oof.
That's not funny.
No.
That's not funny. That's a tragedy. You're just describing a tragedy. You're describing a hypocritical douchebag who's hiding behind his best friend slash guest who hosted the show at the time.
Yeah, and it's kind of unclear if Alex is talking about just like, I will cover and pretend anything that Trump and Roger say is true.
Yeah.
And they said this, and therefore I made it news.
Yeah.
Or if it was like they had some kind of a plan and they were discussing this, like some conduit to Alex, like, hey, here's a story for you. Because that's what it sounds like. He said they gave me the story.
No, he's literally describing them saying, we want you to spread this lie for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, in many ways, that's campaign finance laws that he's just fucked up right there.
Yeah, the FEC might want to ask some questions.
Yeah!
So this last clip is hilarious because it really demonstrates how little Steven Crowder cares at all about accurately presenting the person he's talking to his audience.
And I think you really care about your audience, too. I mean, that's why your audience is loyal, and even with this sort of deplatform, which I know has probably affected you in a negative way, you've talked about it, but your audience flocked to support you. Because you have been, people have to say this about you, you know, win, lose, or draw, whether they disagree with you or agree with you.
Don't do it.
That you're pretty consistent.
God damn it.
No matter what you think about Alex, whether you like him or not, the last thing you should say about him is that he's consistent.
Ever.
That's the last word I would use to describe this dude who makes up shit all the time and flip-flops on anything whenever it becomes inconvenient for him or more convenient to say something else.
Yeah.
What happened to the globalists' plan B? What happened to Alex's post-DUI crusade to clear the names of all the people who've been wrongfully convicted of drunk driving?
Yeah.
What happened to all of Alex's old expert friends who he doesn't talk to anymore because they didn't like Trump enough? Maybe my favorite example of this in recent history was how, toward the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, Alex misread a headline about the then fairly unknown Dr. Fauci, and Alex decided to report this whole thing as Fauci being a brave person inside the government, blowing the whistle on how the virus was all a sham. Alex claimed that he'd looked into Fauci and he made some calls about him and he was the real deal. Within days, Fauci had become the villain in the right-wing media, and Alex pretended that whole thing about him looking into him and seeing that he's the real deal.
Never happened.
Alex Jones is not consistent. His work is meaningless, and it's internally self-contradictory at many points. But his branding is that of a guy who's consistent and he's right about the bedrock stuff.
Yeah.
That's why Steven Crowder is presenting him this way, because he's trying to sell Alex's branding to his audience, as opposed to dealing with who Alex actually is as a person and what his show is actually like. Someone like Crowder is actively doing harm with this kind of shit, like a way less talented Joe Rogan, who by definition of his lesser talent attracts an audience that's gullible or immature enough to think that poo-poo and pee-pee jokes are edgy.
Yeah.
And that all you're doing is creating a false image of who Alex is. I wouldn't even be all that surprised if Steven Crowder is so goddamn cynical that he didn't even know what Alex's show is like. He's just hung out with him a couple times and assumes like, oh, he wouldn't be the kind of guy who yells about the devil all the fucking time and talks about people eating poop on his show.
Yeah. Nah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It was offensive.
What are you guys doing?
So anyway, I just wanted to cover a couple of those little clips.
That kind of presentation of him is like some sort of elected official completely and utterly bungling a health crisis and then writing or ghostwriting a book about his leadership.
You're talking about Cuomo?
Yeah, maybe.
I didn't cut out this clip, but on this February 17th episode, Alex reveals that Cuomo spends most of his time chained up in a sex dungeon.
That's better than what he does. I would prefer that.
It's come
give
out.
Give me a governor who spends more time in a sex dungeon than doing evil shit like him.
And really, my problem is that Alex's reporting had a very sex-negative slant to it.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So we jump back to the 17th here, and Alex recognizes that he's starting the show a little bit down. He's complaining a little bit.
I just can't stop thinking of, like, what if Lori Lightfoot had a big scandal where it was like she spent $240 million on a sex dungeon? I'd be like, yeah, of course you do. You don't give it to the fucking cops.
Anyway, Alex is complaining a lot.
Yeah.
And really what I'm doing here at the start of the broadcast is just doing a little bit of bitching because the information is so heavy. The information so insanely intense that I'm going to be covering here today. As I broadcast to you from a building that's 99% dark except for the studio, and we've got three generators running just to keep this going 24 hours a day, I bring you this information because this is the end of the Republic, the end of the country, the end of the world as you know it. This is the global extermination plan.
Okay, well, we're
at
the end.
That is big news.
Yep. Also, you don't need power there 24 hours a day. You're not at the studio.
How about save some of your money and maybe use those generators to help out all those people? You know you can use generators to help other people.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a little bit confusing, and it becomes more and more confusing as the show goes along. Like, how much power do you have?
Yeah.
What is going on here? This makes no sense.
Yeah. Okay.
Alex, he's talking about, QAnon, right? You remember QAnon?
I've heard of them.
There is a thing in QAnon where they were talking about, like, the power is going to go out, and that's when Q and Trump and the hit teams are going to round up the bad guys.
Sure.
So Alex is like, no.
Right.
The opposite is true. Now there is a blackout. There's power out in Texas, and now the right wing is being rounded
up. Oh, no.
I also noticed everything Q said was the enemy bragging. It was the enemy. The mouth of Sauron. And so Q said, when the lights go out, that's when the roundups begin. And indeed, they are starting to SWAT team and kill and round people up during the blackouts.
Yeah. But no,
it's us
totally
getting rounded up, not them.
It's definitely
so also, that's some of the sick irony of President Q. Yep. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is a hellish situation.
So I would like proof of any of this. I would like a demonstration of who's being rounded up by hit teams.
Yeah. Also, what's happening? You just got into the office on a day when no one has any fucking power.
Yeah.
What are you getting, like 300 text messages? I'm being rounded up.
Isn't this, it's also a little bit of a problem for his whole, like, everybody's going to have no power.
Yeah.
Here I am broadcasting live on my show.
Yeah.
Whatever. Like, it's still, I don't know.
This is the apocalypse. It's over. The great reset is happening. Obviously, I'm still broadcasting.
Optically,
and nobody's
strange.
Me.
If I were him, I probably would think that it would be better to broadcast from home.
Yeah.
Whatever, as lo-fi as possible, like we're in the bunker.
We're all in this together would be a very nice sentiment.
Yeah, it seems a little strange.
It would be too little too late, it would be nice.
It seems a little strange for when people are going through something really severe to be like, well, you know, my big problem is my warehouse is closed.
Yeah. Somebody made me cut my vacation short.
Relatable. Anyway, America has fallen.
Beta's over, baby. Beta is over. So America has fallen. America is gone. America is dead. And only admitting that gives us any chance to turn it around. We are now completely overrun. The FBI is completely paid off. And hell on earth is now being released.
I just feel like you'd hear that stuff, and if you believed any word of it, why would you follow any laws?
Yeah.
Why would you feel beholden to any form of social contract?
Yeah. And why wouldn't you possibly for one second at least think to yourself, okay, this is the result of me supporting every politician that I've ever supported. This is the literal, inevitable result of everything I've ever believed in.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not for a moment. Not for a moment do you think, oh, this sucks. I wish I hadn't done that.
Oh, no, infrastructure's crippled. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have supported the party that hates.
Yeah.
So in this next clip, we get to the little bit of the beginning of Alex's sort of dipping his little angry toe into white supremacy.
Sure, sure.
He's talking about Mark Zuckerberg, right?
Right.
And Zuckerberg, he talks about how we're fighting World War II with this virus, right? Mm. And it's true. That is true.
Okay.
Except when he says virus, what he actually means is white male Christians.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to explain something when we come back in the next segment. That's the most important thing ever. Okay, and it's this. Everything with them is actually a truthful statement, except it's inverted. So Bill Gates says we're fighting the equivalent of World War II. You have that clip coming up. We're fighting the equivalent of World War II, and the virus is World War II, and climate change is like World War II. When he says we're fighting the virus, you're the virus. They call human overpopulation and free speech and everything, and Christians and white males, the virus.
Ooh. I'm sorry. He was talking about Bill Gates. He was talking about Zuckerberg rant also.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But yeah, so it's the virus is straight white males, Christian males.
You know, there's an argument to be made for straight white males who are Christian being something of a toxic presence. I don't know if I would describe them as a virus.
No, I think that even joking around there is a little bit iffy.
I don't know. When the evangelical bloc votes 90% for Trump, I think we're good.
Yeah, but that's, I don't know. I feel like that's something you got to really parse out.
Sure,
you're
sure.
You're getting too close to justifying Alex's narratives.
I'm not justifying his narratives. I walked
you're
it back.
Embodying.
I said they're just a toxic presence. I didn't say they were a virus.
Okay.
You can solve toxic presences with things other than, you know, his plans.
Okay. So, Jordan, remember Enron? That energy company.
Yes, I do remember Enron. Yes.
Ken Lay.
Yeah.
Not a good dude.
Yeah. Real exemplars of late stage capitalism.
What happened to Ken Lay?
I don't know. I not bad enough things, I suppose.
Well, he died.
Oh, did he?
Right?
I don't know.
Before he was able to go on trial.
I don't know anything about Ken Lay.
Oh, well, he did.
Okay, good.
He actually faked his death.
He faked his death!
Because, you know, it was Enron came up with the carbon tax in 1987. I mean, you knew that, right? Ken Lay hatched all this. And then we all heard he committed suicide on house arrest. And then word is he's down in Paraguay. So that's how all this works, ladies and gentlemen. See, I study how these boys operate. How they do it.
So the thing that I think is really interesting about that is the juxtaposition of Alex saying, word is he's down in Paraguay.
In the same
sentence as he says, I study this.
Yeah.
I study this, but I also report hearsay as if it's facts.
QAnon people are fucking crazy with this. John F. Kennedy Jr. isn't going to find you and help you in any way.
Now
Ken Lay is obviously in Paraguay, naturally.
He's not going to help you, but he's hiding up there.
He's hiding.
The word is.
The word is from who?
Yeah.
Does he have a lot of Paraguayan listeners?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair.
Hotbed of Trump support and InfoWarrior.
Yeah, well, that's fair.
So Alex is talking about China, and he's complaining about... I'm going to be honest. This is a little bit... This hits my ear a little bit racist.
Sure.
Alex is going off on a little bit of a jag about how, you know, there's more Chinese men in China than women, and so they export men to other places to get brides in other countries. He's kind of implying that it's like exporting people in order to make the world Chinese.
Sure.
It's fucked up and weird. And then in the middle of it,
we're in a Hank Stamper situation. You go find a wife out east and you bring her back to Oregon.
And in the middle of this kind of disgusting, weird jag, Alex gets some bad news.
Okay.
They've had a one-child policy to where there's probably 100 million more boys in China than there are girls, so they export Chinese men to colonies and tell them, get an African wife,
they
get a Latin American wife, get an American wife. They forcibly rape the Uyghur women and up to 10 men at a time. That's in the mainstream news. They don't deny it. To forcibly make them Chinese instead of the group they are, which basically is Chinese. It's a dark day, ladies and gentlemen. It's a dark day. I'm going to play this clip in a moment, but this is all being done on purpose. This is rubbing our faces in it. And we got another bad piece of news. He wasn't perfect. He got snookered into wars, globalist wars, but he was an American and he was loyal to the country and he meant well. And he fought the communist, Rush Limbaugh. American radio host, dead at 70. So just another disgusting, sickening omen.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So Alex is not happy about this news.
It is a disgusting omen.
It's strange, a little bit. Curious bedfellows, considering in the earlier times of his career, Rush Limbaugh would have been an enemy.
Sure.
And somebody who was kind of like the fucking shitty globalist right.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. And in Trump times, you know, Limbaugh loved Trump, so... The two of them,
well,
they reached a little bit of an understanding.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah. Naturally.
It's silly. Oh, but Alex is very consistent.
Sure,
that's
sure,
important
sure.
To remember.
Yeah, the winds of hatred are, mm-hmm. are very consistent.
Very much.
Yeah.
So Rush is dead, and Alex pays him quite a tribute. I will say that I think that this might be a send-off.
He's kind of a piece of his shit, but, you know, he inspired my career, so fuck that guy. I hope he dies again.
This is immediately after Alex reports the news that that Rush has died. Okay.
American radio host dead at 70. So just another disgusting, sickening omen. Oh, God. And, folks, I've learned at 47 to go with my gut. It's never wrong. The United States is facing imminent destruction.
Are you saying he was murdered?
My gut's never been wrong, and I keep having very intense nightmares the last month that the United States is going to be hit by nuclear weapons by China and is going to stand down and
going to receive
the attack. I don't
care about your dreams.
Stop having sweets before bed.
The evidence, too. They're preparing us with stay in your homes. Your power's off. They turned the power off. I'll prove that coming up. But they admit they did, by the way. It's in the fine print. And they're just getting us ready for the disaster. They're not going to hit the main cities. They're going to hit the military bases. And that's why they want to keep National Guard in D.C. so that the states can't organize and have any response. They'll be cut off in D.C. Mm. That's why they're doing this purge the military. They did a 60-day stand down to go through and create list of who they're going to kill right away and who they're not. I mean, if you don't want to stay and fight this, I would evacuate the United States right now. Very good chance that they're going to either blow the entire power grid with EMPs.
Sure.
They've been conditioning us to get ready for, or they're going to hit us with a first strike.
I saw Ocean's 11.
And you're like, well, that's crazy. No, this is war, folks. America's over. It's gone. Trump was removed. Of course, he won in a giant landslide. They weren't going to allow that to happen. And that's why when you look at the press secretary and all Biden's people, they are scared. And if I was them, I'd be scared, too.
I've decided I'm going to eulogize Rush by making up scary bullshit.
Yep. That was a good...
I found out that Rush is dead, and now I must tell you, China is about to nuke us.
That is a fitting send-off for Rush. Yeah. That's exactly what you should do.
Via con Dios, Rush.
Yeah. Let here's me spread some propaganda. Yeah. In your honor, here's some bullshit that'll hurt people.
Yeah. But, and that really kind of defines Alex's mood for a bit in the show. It's over, man.
Alex, I'm just going to throw this out there. They are shutting off power on purpose. What if they weren't allowed to do that?
Mm.
What if there was some sort of like thing that the law, and I'm not saying that we have to give it a name, because I think names might be a problem for Alex.
Alex isn't into labels.
What if there was hey, this is a law that says you can't do that, despite you being a private company.
Are you suggesting something that would regulate behaviors of company?
No.
I feel like I'm playing Operation. Hit the edge.
You just hit the edge, man. Yeah.
So Alex is in a bad mood. It's over, man. America's fucking done.
Sure.
Rush was the last thing holding us together.
Yeah.
And then this gets back to where I think this is overtly white supremacist.
So I got to be honest with you, folks. It's all over, okay? It's all over. We're about to be hit with nuclear weapons. The military stood down. Everything's gone. So I'm sorry. It's over. The country's gone. It's all over. I mean,
drama queen.
I'm admitting that the Death Star is orbiting the planet at maximum velocity. If we don't stop the globalists, if they aren't stopped, it's over. You think they just steal elections for no reason?
Yes.
You think they're saying veterans are terrorists for no reason? You think they're saying all white men are terrorists?
Sure.
Under this Chinese regime, folks, they're going to take all white men in for re-education. And then it'll be every other group after that. Because they know that white men coming from a Scottish, Irish, English tradition, even the continent of Europe didn't get free until about 150 years ago.
Oh,
Germans
boy.
Were still serfs 150 years ago, slaves, in the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. They were under a king. Military service, the Prussians were owned men. Hessians were sold as mercenaries. So
is that the same thing?
You had a bunch of wars in the British Isles over tribalism and who ran things. And then that grew into our system of freedom. That's
really?
Where it all came from, folks.
That's
it
your
all
argument.
Comes out of England. It all comes out of Scotland. It all comes out of Ireland. That's where all the freedom comes from, mainly England.
Oh, boy. Okay, so
I'm going to be real with Alex. I don't think he really read anything that the founders wrote.
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think he's read a whole lot of history either, because this is a very skewed and...
Nah. The Scotch-Irish were fighting for a while, then they came over here and democracy happened. I don't know what's wrong with you.
All freedom flows from the riverhead of white men.
As everybody knows, freedom... originated in England whenever they traveled to Africa in order to sell human beings to America.
Sure.
That's freedom.
Thanks for sort of mainlining and supporting this, Stephen Crowder.
Yeah.
I hope you're proud you promote somebody who has these kinds of ideas that they disseminate on their show.
They're going to come after white men, and as we all know, freedom only comes from white men.
Exactly. Wow. I mean, like, there's such an interesting division that I find with his show. Like, a lot of the time, it's very much white identity. It's very much, like, implicit bias and, like, you know, clearly racist positions.
Totally.
But that's white supremacist.
Oh, 100%.
That's, like, beyond the line.
I mean, it's literal.
Yeah.
It's saying that white men are supreme.
Yes. The only people who have ever thought freedom is worth anything.
Hey, what if we weren't serfs? Only white men ever had that thought.
It's shocking. It's shocking to see.
I think I should have a say in how things are run. Only white men ever considered that thought.
Well, I mean, and the sort of, I don't know, I guess tributary kind of argument that would spring off that that river is that any time... anytime there is actual movements towards freedom, it's got to be white people doing it.
Yeah, of course.
And the only way non-white people can really be involved is they just follow whatever the white people are doing.
Yeah, they call white men in order to run their freedom operations.
Yeah.
You know how white men often promote freedom throughout the world?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times we've seen white men go all across the world and just promote the fuck out of freedom.
I think that this might be a half-thought-through thing of Alex's. It might be something that's more emotionally felt for him.
Could be.
It might come from the place of white supremacy that is deep within his white heart.
Well, I would say in his mind, the only freedom is the freedom of white men to do whatever it is they want. And that freedom does only come from white men. So I will give him that.
You've made an interesting argument. So Alex has some problems with his staff. Well, not actually. He likes the staff. But look, this guy, his longtime producer... His sister, she's weird.
And I just told you, if you're a new listener and you think I'm joking, or maybe you're a new listener and you think it's good, like, oh, yeah, we love Xi Jinping. Folks, I have a longtime producer here, the oldest employee here, 17 years. Used to live in Minnesota.
Good detail.
His sister pledges allegiance to Xi Jinping.
Does she?
And is an academic. And she's mainline in Minnesota. They pledge allegiance to Xi Jinping.
That does sound right.
Think I'm joking? Look at the Washington Post. Can Xi Jinping destroy Donald Trump to save America?
Wow.
This is what they do in Minnesota.
Hey, listen.
It's just mainstream.
Obviously, my producer's sister pledges allegiance to Xi Jinping because she's an academic. And if you want proof, read the Washington Post, which I assume must be about his sister.
This headline, I can't even really remember, and I definitely didn't read the article.
Yeah, exactly. See? The Washington Post.
Yeah, you got these listeners who are like in the middle of nowhere, and Alex is just being like, yeah, trust me, academics in Minnesota all pledge allegiance to Xi.
Fine.
Yeah.
Jesus, man.
It's kind of like whenever you were in elementary school, and you'd be like talking to somebody, and they'd be like, yeah, I have a cousin who's in France, and they all eat bugs there,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, 100%.
Some sort of a weird cultural thing in another country.
Like, one of those things that
they're lying to you because you're 12 and you're not going to go to France.
No, it's one of those things your dad tells you and then you tell everybody at school and everybody's like, no.
That's not true.
No, you shouldn't believe anything your dad says anymore.
Yeah. Speaking of things that dads tell you that you shouldn't believe,
yeah.
Alex has a little bit of a humdinger about his dad.
Okay.
So these are very dangerous people. They tried to recruit my dad.
CIA dentist.
Oh, my dad just David Bowie. The exact type they were looking for, let me tell you. You know, there's types. You can look at somebody and tell they've been a Marine or an Army officer. You tell somebody they look at, but these globalists are short, nice, friendly little doctors, usually with, for whatever reason, dark hair. That's what my dad looks like. And he's on top of his class, and they try to recruit him.
Wait. Two of the things they're looking for are physical characteristics?
Yes.
They have to be short and have dark hair?
Obviously.
What the fuck are you talking about?
If you're looking for the Ubermensch, they need to be short with dark hair. I don't understand, Dan. What the fuck? That's what they're looking to do. Recruit CIA dentists who are short and have dark hair.
And this is pre-CIA dentistry. Because he was just coming out of high school.
Oh, that's true.
But I love the idea that Alex Jones's dad was like, look, the globalists really wanted me because I was short. I had dark hair. They love that.
That's a little bit like, yeah, those dating apps. Love short guys.
It's very stupid. Yeah. This is very dumb.
Yeah.
So one of the like really through line narrative kind of things that Alex is going on about on this episode is that Biden had a town hall the night prior.
Yes.
And apparently, during this town hall, he had endorsed China's actions.
That doesn't sound right.
In Hong Kong, and also about the Uyghurs. Here's Alex playing that clip.
Here, ladies and gentlemen, is Joe Biden endorsing communist China's death camps and takeover militarily of Hong Kong. Just unbelievable, in-your-face treason. Over the top, just, it's only going to get crazier from here. Here it is.
You know, Chinese leaders, if you know anything about Chinese history, it has always been a time when China has been victimized by the outer world is when they haven't been unified at home. So the central, to vastly overstate it, the central principle of Xi Jinping is that there must be a united, tightly controlled China. And he uses his rationale for the things he does based on that. I point out to him, no American president can be sustained as a president if he doesn't reflect the values of the United States. And so the idea, I'm not going to speak out against what he's doing in Hong Kong, what he's doing with the Uyghurs in western mountains of China and Taiwan, trying to end the one China policy by making it forceful. I said, and by the way, he said he gets it. Culturally, there are different norms at each country, and their leaders are expected to follow.
Did you catch that? He said, I'm not going to criticize it, like he was saying he would criticize it. Sick, evil lawyer crap.
Okay. So there's.
Do you see, just not understand words?
Apparently not.
Yeah.
There are plenty of reasons to critique Biden about his town hall from the other night, but this is a complete misrepresentation of what Biden was saying.
Yeah.
So Anderson Cooper asked Biden about his conversation with Xi, and the treatment of the Uyghurs came up, and Biden said, quote, "We must speak up for human rights. It's who we are." Then there's that clip that Alex plays, and then Anderson Cooper tries to refocus the question, saying, quote, "When you talk to him, though, about human rights abuses, is that just it? Is that as far as it goes in terms of the U.S., or is there any actual repercussions for China?" Biden replied, quote, "Well, there will be repercussions for China, and he knows that. What I'm doing is making clear that we, in fact, are going to continue to reassert our role as spokespeople for human rights at the UN and other agencies that have an impact on their attitude. China is trying very hard to become the world leader and get that moniker, and to be able to do that, they have to gain the confidence of other countries. And as long as they're engaged in activity that is contrary to basic human rights, it's going to be hard for them to do that." Biden wasn't endorsing any of the actions of the Chinese government. He was discussing a more nuanced approach to international relations than Trump was capable of. Alex is playing selectively edited clips of Biden's comments in order to make it appear that he was saying he supports the treatment of the Uyghur people, and all this is just not true.
No.
It's a load of shit.
It's not even in that clip. The clip is him saying, I have to respect them and their culture, but at the same time, I'm not going to not speak out. And he's literally saying, I'm not going to avoid speaking out just because I have to respect their country.
And you can get, but you can take that clip and get, like, you have just enough.
You
have just enough there to spin it into,
totally.
He endorsed all this.
I don't know why he left that second part in there where it is Biden saying, of course I'm going to speak out about human rights abuses.
Yeah, it's a little bit strange.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Edit the clip better.
Yeah. Well, look, the power's out.
Or, I mean, eviler, I guess.
The power's out, man.
That's fair.
So, you know, everyone loves that Biden has come out and he said that China can do whatever it wants and it's open season or whatever.
I don't remember that, but I will accept your interpretation.
You know, and he's not the only North American leader who has recently said such a thing.
Okay.
Now, who else recently? Oh, the Prime Minister of Canada said to a group of women who got really excited when he said it. It was so manly. He said, I like the communist Chinese system of total dictatorship. And I like Xi Jinping. I like total dictatorship. And the women just all were like squirming in their seats and just wiggling around like they were at a, you know, men's or woman's gentleman club. What do you call those? LeBear? Like the guys with the bow ties, but that's all they're wearing. I mean, they were just giggling and snickering and hopping up and down. And just, it's so sexy to have death camps.
Small point, Alex is making up all that stuff about women squirming and being sexually excited by Trudeau's comments. That's just the product of his own pervy and very weird imagination.
Yeah, that clip just makes me want to be like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Well, it's an interesting question of whether he's just making that up because he wants the audience to think that, or if that's really his experience of watching a clip like that.
Yeah, we know he's gross.
He's very gross. Yeah, but how much of it is like actual and how much of it is performance for the audience?
Right.
That part, I have no idea. Either way, it's fucked up.
That's fucked up.
Anyway, also, not for nothing, that video that he's referencing, like it's, you know, it's something like recent. He's lying about the content of it.
Sure.
He's lying about the context of it.
And wasn't it like 2 years ago?
Oh, it's from 2013.
Get the fuck out of here. It's from 2013?
Yeah.
Was he even prime minister in 2013?
Nope.
No, he was not, Dan.
Nope. So with a guy like this, who's just accurate and like straight shooter
and consistent,
yes, you might be surprised to learn. I think Alex is having some money troubles.
Okay.
Everybody around here goes, oh, Alex, don't worry. They stole it from Trump. At least you'll have more listeners now that Biden's in. No, I said, no, people are going to give up and the censorship's going to get worse and we'll have less funds coming in. And sure as hell, I was right again because my gut's always right. I can analyze later why my gut's right, but it's always right. It's right. It's right. My spirit knows. It's a lot smarter than just this gray matter.
Is it?
And it interfaces with my gray matter. And I'm telling you,
does it?
That you better get right with Jesus right now. Okay? This is a takeover. A military takeover. And they are going to purge the living snot out of them. They're going to kill probably a third of our military veterans and people. And they'll just fly over the helicopter and just bomb your house. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
And the public will be out there like this because they don't want to get killed. The average American is a cowardly sack of demonic devil-worshipping garbage. Your neighbors will watch the NFL while your ass is drug out and put in a FEMA camp so some pot-bellied pedophile can screw your kids in front of you. Okay? This is all about raping you. And you're going to find out now. They're going to rape you and enjoy it. So just remember, if you want to fund us, we can stay on air who knows how long. I would get the ProPure $50 off.
Whoa.
That's an ad read.
Yeah.
An ad read.
Pretty impressive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yep.
If you don't buy Tide, they will rape you.
Your neighbors will watch
it. Everyone!
Your neighbors will watch as your house is bombed.
Yeah, if you buy an off-brand detergent.
The only way to stop it is to keep my bullshit on air.
That's what they want.
Yeah. All right, whatever.
Wow.
Congrats on promoting a dick like this, Steven Crowder.
That's just
jerk.
So fucked up.
Yeah.
They're real human beings who don't need to listen to that shit.
No. Yeah. I would say every single human being on the planet doesn't need to hear this shit.
God, that's so fucked.
Yeah, but, you know, if everybody didn't listen to the show, then no one would know that it's confirmed.
Well,
it's official.
Is it?
100%.
100%.
That Satan is real.
Okay.
And I'm going to explain to you again. Satan is 1,000,000,000% real.
That sounds too high.
And when we didn't start standing up for other people and our children and our old people, the hedge of protection has been lifted and God is going to let Satan literally annihilate us. So I hope everybody enjoys it.
This kind of characterizes quite a bit of the show.
Yeah.
it's kind of fitting. And, you know, like Alex is sitting in a dark studio. Of course, Satan has gotten control and God's going to let us be destroyed.
Yeah.
It thematically fits, but it's a little exhausting.
I dare God to let Satan kill all of us. I dare him.
Man, that is hubris.
Oh, I'll do it right now.
That is hubris.
I'll do it again.
You are like Icarus.
I'm fine with it. I'll get up next to that sun. I don't give a shit.
Oh. Pride comes before the fall. I'll not join you in this.
Okay.
Because 1,000,000,000%, Alex is saying, Satan's real. I mean,
sure.
You don't make up numbers like 1,000,000,000,000.
I think you do. I think that's the exact type of number you make up.
Well, here's some more stuff that's getting made up.
Okay.
And I have to apologize to you in advance because Alex uses that word you hate.
Discernment?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, boy.
See, he has that.
If he uses badly, I'm going to lose my shit.
No, he has this discernment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the other side has something that's kind of like a crystal ball that sort of works.
Oh, a palantir, if you will.
We have discernment through Christ. The enemy has its own sickening form of discernment. And has a large understanding of the space-time continuum.
A
and
what?
Is able to make long-term, very accurate predictions that are almost like future crystal ball powers, but not.
Hmm? Really?
And
that's what you got for me? Crystal ball, but
they
not?
They have foreseen basically most of what has already transpired. And I can tell you, things are not going good for Satan.
Wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're not just applying Satan
mm-hmm.
as a malevolent force designed to torture us,
mm-hmm.
sent by God to fulfill his plan. Now we've got a Satan who also is like, God damn it, guys, mm-hmm. I need better help.
Things aren't going well.
Things are not going well right now.
Hey.
We're behind. We're 10 years behind.
We got this shitty crystal ball.
Yeah, this crystal ball doesn't even work all the time. Why don't I get a good crystal ball?
It kind of works, but it doesn't.
So now we've got a put upon middle manager Satan.
I feel like if Alex would just write this as a comedy show, like it would be a decent
this
sitcom.
Isn't terrible.
Yeah. Overworked, undersupported devil.
Yeah, but I think that's already been made. I think there was a cartoon made.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, I would almost guarantee that
someone
had
that
idea.
Maybe Alex watched it with his kids.
I wouldn't be surprised. And got super mad about it. They're trying to launder the devil and make him acceptable
to
children.
This is predictive programming.
It's a cartoon. It's for kids.
So Alex is in studio. He's able to broadcast. And like I was watching a bit of this as it was airing. So it was live.
Yeah.
It was happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, the cameras look good. The lights look good. The only difference, really, is that there's no cool backdrop.
Sure, sure.
That's about it. But he's running at half his capabilities. And I was like, well, you know, bad storm. Makes sense. It turns out that's not why, though.
What?
It turns out it's because everyone who works at InfoWars is an idiot.
So let me show you some of the history of this. And again, I don't have the DocuMCam shot because most of the equipment's still down because we have the generators but not wired in correctly because there's so many electrical wires and systems. So a problem, we failed. We probably won't even fix it. We'll probably just shut down. I don't think I'm actually capable to keep this place going much longer. I'm trying. The crew's great, but, you know, I'll tell you, the live crew's great, but the people that have the discipline of running the show are the best. But I don't know anymore. I'm just being honest.
So you have the generators, you just don't know how to plug them in or make things work.
What an amazing, like, microcosm of conservative leadership. Mm-hmm. Of just like, well, we have the stuff because we were told that it's a good idea to have the stuff. But we didn't prepare, and we didn't hook it up correctly.
And it turns out no one here knows how to use it.
And instead, because I hire poorly,
right?
And instead of being able and capable and creative, I quit.
Yeah. And he does talk quite a bit about quitting.
Yeah.
But he's not giving up.
I'm going to throw a little tantrum instead of do anything
about
it.
But he's not giving up, Jordan.
Okay.
People will say that he's giving up. He's not. He's giving in.
But hell, Biden's so evil, he doesn't care. He stole the election. Why didn't he have to campaign? Why did he tell a group of people at a rally,
COVID.
I don't need you to win. I don't need you to win. I don't need you to campaign to win. And I went, look, folks, he's telling you. Because they're trying to demoralize us and destroy our morale. They think humiliating us like this will make us give up.
Really?
And you're like, well, Jones, you're talking about giving up. I'm not giving up. I'm giving out.
Okay.
Like a horse that's been carrying too much too long. I want you to know how serious this is. You want us to go off the air? You want us to just shut it down? Because if people don't get serious and understand what's happening, because I'll never sell out to the globalist. But at a certain point, ladies and gentlemen, there's not enough serious people around me. This crew in here, because they work with me and they're great, they're serious and they kick ass. But almost everybody else I know doesn't give a rat's ass and wants to just sit there and watch Netflix.
You should meet other people.
Now, some of them are pissed because the power's off. And so all I'm getting at is everyone needs vitamin D3.
Wow. Wow.
That's what he's getting at.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would have preferred if that Springsteen commercial was like, in Central America, there's a town, and if you don't want everyone to die, y'all better come to
fucking
together.
Ford.
Buy a goddamn car.
Yeah.
Or I will blow up this town. I will kill everyone in this town.
I wrote Born in the USA. I can afford a bomb. Don't test me.
I can afford this commercial, and I can afford the bomb I'm threatening you with.
Yeah.
Come together.
This is that also characterizes Alex's show. This I'm quitting.
Yeah.
Buy shit.
Yeah. We're all gonna die unless you buy shit.
Yeah, so to make
also all of you are cowards
who
don't have the balls to step up and do what needs to be done.
Like buy shit.
Buy my pills.
Yes.
You cowards.
I like the idea that there's not enough serious people around, and it appears that the only way you can be serious is buy Alex's product.
Yeah.
That seems like a trap.
He resents everyone he knows for not being dumb enough to buy his pills.
Yeah, and so now the show takes a little bit of an interesting turn.
Okay.
And that is Alex gets hungry. And so they're sitting in this darkened studio and they have to break out survival food.
Oh boy.
You know, Michael Dorman put this al dente on a hot plate in the dark by the studio. We have limited power here. And if it wasn't al dente, it tastes as good as restaurant fettuccine alfredo from preparewithalex.com.
It's good. It's good. Wow. Fettuccine Alfredo.
Wow.
He eats some on the
God
show.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It becomes like a commercial for
just
the survival.
Have a big Thanksgiving dinner of survival food like that.
Sitting here in the dark studio, this fettuccine Alfredo is a little toothsome.
Mwah! It's good.
So now compounding my issues with what is working there and what is not.
Sure.
Alex takes phone calls.
Okay.
How are your phone lines all
right.
working?
Sure.
You could just take live phone calls?
Yeah, of course. Come on.
I don't know what is. I don't know. It's very strange.
They have an old rotary phone. You don't need power for that shit. You just connect it.
They might have not been able to plug in the thing that blocks really scary callers.
Oh, that's not good.
Because the first caller is a prophet.
Uh-oh.
What's it going to take for the people of this country to wake up? Your nation is judged, and you have been found wanting. And I've got information for you, Alex, that is imperative. I can't get into it over line, but I'm going to tell you right now that there are 360 million lives at stake right now. And all I'm asking for you is 15 minutes of your time. If I give you this information and you hear it, you'll know it's the truth. And it's going to answer a lot of questions that you have had that you have not been able to get answers to. I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet of God.
All right, brother, listen, I'll get your info, but I mean, here's the deal. Everybody always used to talk to me privately. I don't know why we can't. You got a point, you can make it on air, but and I hear you. I think this is judgment.
I'm not talking to you off air. I'm not giving you 15 minutes,
excuse
bro.
Excuse me, sir. No.
Hey, it's fun when I yell about how I'm a prophet and millions are going to die.
Yeah.
You sound silly because I'm the star of the show.
Yeah.
You're just a guy calling in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what kind of like hit my ear really weird is like, how is that any different than the stuff Alex says? It's not really.
I'm always blown away by how local everyone is. Like 360 million lives are at stake. The globe is interconnected. I get that you guys want there to be nationalism and shit, but even in that world,
I don't know
the globe is interconnected. If 360 million people died,
I don't know.
The entire world would be fucked up.
I don't think he was saying that it's all just the United States.
Sure.
It could be all over the place.
Oh, okay.
All right. Anyway, I don't know. Look, this prophet, not a great call. It doesn't go well.
Mm.
Alex gets another call from a guy. And I'm not going to play this because it's who cares. The caller is just he wants to plug the Philadelphia Church of God.
Sure.
Which I
the
looked into.
Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a church that was founded on the teachings of Herbert Armstrong, which is a guy who's a noted preacher of British Israelism.
Sure.
That church was started by a guy named Gerald Fleury, who thinks he's a prophet, and that Trump was a God-ordained ruler.
That'll happen.
So he calls in to promote that, and I was like, I love watching preachers. Who cares? Anyway, Alex gets to... this is an interesting thing that came up.
Sure.
Alex believes in weather weapons. He believes that the globalists can control all this stuff.
Naturally.
And so he has this sort of complicated position he's presenting that is, did the globalists do this?
Yes.
No.
What?
Could they have? Yes. Is it wrong for me to ask questions? No. So... It's strange.
Okay. All right.
It's strange. And then wouldn't you know it, he has all of the evidence to prove that they can do all this.
Sure.
Use storms as weapons,
yeah,
and everything.
Of course.
He just can't find it.
Ooh. Bad luck.
Oh.
Bad luck for us, Dan.
It was 20 years ago or so that I got a contact from the Air Force, and they said the director of HART, the civilian head, would like to come on the show because he heard General Benton K. Parton, the military head of HART previously, on your show talk about it. And sure enough, there was an Air Force colonel on the line. They put the civilian head of it on. I look up. It's the real guy. He came on about a week after the Air Force called me. But when he admitted that they could control the weather, they could actually ignite the upper atmosphere on fire and steer the Arctic blast south if they wanted to, the Air Force guy got real mad, got on the line and said the interview's over during the break and hung up on me. And I've never been able to find that interview. It was a big interview. It was
so
crazy
big
that the military
we lost
come on my
it.
Show. And it's just one
so
of those bizarre
big.
Things.
Yeah, it's a real bizarre thing.
So big.
Bizarre.
We couldn't find it or keep it, and I've never been able to find it.
Damnedest thing.
Bummer! Because that would have proved everything.
Well, not everything, but it would have proven something.
Would have proved a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I'll wait for him to produce this.
Yeah. Anytime now.
I'm not going to wait.
Nah, any day now.
So we know from listening to this episode that the Alfredo, if Zimmerman hadn't cooked it al dente.
Amazing.
Would be fantastic.
Amazing.
Alex eats some more survival food.
And I called him this morning. Speak of the devil, they brought me some macaroni and cheese. Thank you, sir. Speak of the devil, they just brought me some macaroni and cheese.
You are not going to eat that.
They're
going to
give you additional 10% off. They weren't going to do specials for a long time.
We'll get back to this here in a second, but this either implies that Alex is just doing this to like be on camera eating the food.
Sounds like it.
Or they don't have filling portions. I don't know.
Survival, Dan, not like thriving.
Alex makes a big deal out of how this company's different than the others because it's 2,000 calories.
Sure, that's
the
fair.
Other ones are like 1,000 calories.
That's fair.
I'm They hadn't done sales in years. They had a bunch of sales last year. This is a huge deal. We knew it was coming. The price of food could not last as this low rate for much longer. And now even major brands like Kraft, Heinz, ConAgra are announcing plans to start passing the soaring food cost on to you.
Oh, no.
With millions of Americans nationwide becoming aware of the impact of the global pandemic and lockdown and forced statewide outages to our power grid, there has never been a better time to stock up on storable food while you still can. In response to these outages, we are leading to food lines in Texas. Again, I didn't write this. I talked to the crew about 30 minutes ago, and I said, please write this up. And I guess this was written hastily, so I can't really even understand this. But let me just tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. You need to get prepared now with all the craziness that's going on.
How are they supposed to write that up in the dark while they're cooking you food?
What an asshole. What a fucking asshole.
He handled it better than O'Reilly, though. They're like, fuck, we're doing it live.
Yeah, that's fair. Alex, that's because he's always doing it live. Yeah. This isn't new. This is a daily occurrence for him.
I was like, this sentence does not work. All right, fuck it. I can't read this.
Did he crumple it up, too? Yep. What an asshole.
That's an homage to Rush.
Oh, okay.
Paper crinkling noises.
All right, Jesus.
Homage to Rush.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, we have one last clip here, and Alex takes another call from a guy, and unfortunately, in the process, reveals that he knows literally nothing about the power situation in
sure,
Texas.
Sure.
Jeff, first-time caller from Arkansas. I know you've had power outages there as well. There's ERCOTs all over the country.
What does ERCOT stand, or at least what does the T stand for in ERCOT?
Dan, I think the T stands for Tevrewhere.
Tevrewhere, yes.
Tevrewhere.
Texas.
Yeah, yeah,
Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
The Electric Reliability
ERCOT is everywhere. ERCOT is everywhere.
It's defined by not being everywhere.
No, no, no. So there's the power consortium on the left, on the west coast,
uh-huh.
And then on the east coast, and then Texas is everywhere.
Hmm. So I would say that whenever you hear somebody say something like that, it would tend to imply that they know nothing about the issue. They don't know anything about the structure, the infrastructure, the way the power is disseminated around
sure.
the state.
You could strongly infer that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And so whenever Alex tries to sum up his feelings about the storm and the electricity issues like this, just go ahead and toss it out like he did that badly written copy.
Yeah.
They did this on purpose. I have family that used to run power plants. One of them's dead now, but I've got family. I'm not going to get into it because they don't want me to. But I called them in Houston, and I called others, and they said 100% this is all fake to jack up prices.
This means nothing. Like, he's literally just saying nothing in order to make more interesting stories for his audience to have than, hey, poorly managed statewide.
What else has your family done? Has his
everything.
Family done everything?
They did Iran-Contra.
Yeah, yeah, no kidding. Everybody. Yeah, but at a certain point now, everybody's done Iran-Contra.
Everyone on the right did Iran-Contra.
Everyone was like, everyone's proud of being part of, like, I was part of Iran-Contra, you know, a good thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, me and Ollie.
Yeah.
We used to fuck around. It was a good time. Yeah, I don't know. This is all very stupid. I did find this a little more interesting than some shows recently.
Sure.
And I think one of the reasons is there's at least what appears to be a shift happening. And maybe I'm just tricked by the fact that the studio was pitch black.
I think there is a little bit of that, just like, oh, this is at least novel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it's obviously there's no reason to do this. You could have just taken the day off. There's no reason to come into the studio and, well, I mean, there
even
is.
Even if you have power, could say you don't.
But it's to eat survival food on air in order to try and get some money coming through.
Yeah. Now is a great time to sell survival food.
Yeah.
You know what I want to do?
And
during an emergency?
That's shipped from somewhere else. So it's something that he can still deliver, whereas all the stuff in the warehouse, doesn't have power to the warehouse. He can't deliver anything for at least a week. At back orders.
What a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Using an emergency as a prop to sell shit is maybe one of the worst things you can do.
And something he does regularly.
Yep. God, fuck that guy.
Yeah. So also, I think just to bring this back into really sharp focus, number one.
You gotta wash that ass.
True.
Number two, Alex Jones very clearly was demonstrating some explicit white supremacy on this show.
Oh, yeah.
Like, to levels that he rarely touches. Yeah. Like, there's some things that are usually, like, kind of implied sometimes, but, like, that idea that he has, that freedom over human history has only sprung forth from white men,
yeah,
is just... It's pretty clearly indicative of like, oh, this is behind a lot of your other beliefs,
yeah,
that,
yeah,
you try to masquerade as not racist.
Yeah, the only conclusion you can draw is that white men are better than other people.
That's it. Pretty clear.
That's the only thing you can take
from his thinking.
Yeah.
So you take that and you really have it in sharp contrast with people like Steven Crowder trying to whitewash his presentation as
and
as,
him trying to whitewash the world.
Yeah. Just everybody is full, like, disgraceful.
Disgraceful.
That's really the feeling, yeah, that I have is like Steven Crowder. I don't know how good the money is, but like, just know that this is what you're doing. You're, yeah, trying to mainstream and normalize, yeah, this guy to your infantile audience,
yeah,
who think pee-pee jokes are funny.
Yeah.
And what's behind it is a guy who thinks that freedom only comes from white people.
Right.
So, oh, white males, excuse me.
I don't think the money's that good. I've stopped thinking the money's that good. And here's why. Here's why.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Because I was reading about this Ted Cruz thing, and in the text messages, they point out that the room fee per night is $309. And they were like, that's a good room rate. If you are Ted Cruz selling out literally the survival of the human race for corporations, shouldn't you not have to worry about what your hotel room costs? I'm telling you, it's cheaper to buy corrupt people than it should be.
I don't know. I mean, you don't stay comfortably selling out the human race if you don't keep up on room rates.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
You don't...
rich people don't spend money. They keep it, dude.
Exactly. I don't know. It's tough for me to say. All that stuff is so, like, shrouded in sort of obscurity that dark. I really have no idea. But, like, no matter what the price, like, it's just, this is what you're doing. Stop trying to pretend you're doing something else.
Yep, yep. Hey, Steven Crowder, you are spreading white nationalism. The end.
I think it's that, and I think it's even like you could be even more direct with it. Like, what you're doing is actively trying to pretend that this white supremacy that is celebrated and disseminated by Alex isn't that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not what this is. And by doing that, you're trying to trick your young audience into believing that something that is hate isn't hate.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, gross.
No, it's him having a KKK member and being like, see, he's not wearing the robe, so it's fine.
His problem is really with the state.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He doesn't like the state encroaching upon whiteness, and I don't understand why that's a problem.
Yeah, he doesn't like the state telling him where he can and can't burn things.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I can't burn it on somebody's yard. Right. I thought this was America.
This is, I resent that quite a bit. And I also resent that I can't get myself to just cover his episode because it is behind a paywall and I'm not going to breach that.
Yep. Goddamn ethics, Dan.
Oh, well. Looks like I believe in their principles more than they do.
Our problem is believing in reality.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes, we're also on, what is it called?
Twitter. I believe it's called Twitter.
That's right.
It's at knowledge_fight, and I go to bed, Jordan.
Yep, we're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook, you thousand shites. If you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people who are still doing God's work.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I'm Daryl Rundis.
You gotta wash that ass.
Words of wisdom.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.